Welcome to Division 6 of the Colorado Court of Appeals. We have two cases on our 1:30 docket this afternoon. That would be Judith Ryder versus State Farm Mutual first. I assume the counsel are here and ready for that argument.
Yes, Your Honor. Sir.
Thank you. Secondly, we have People of the State of Colorado versus, and correct me if I'm wrong on the pronunciation, please, Homaiden Al-Turki.
Yes, Your Honor, that's the correct pronunciation.
Thank you. Counsel, are both counsel here on that case, yes?
Yes, we are.
Thank you. On our 2:30 docket, we have Kenneth Snook versus Joyce Homes, Inc. Anyone here on that yet? Probably not. Okay. Okay, counsel, when you came in this afternoon, I believe you were presented with, or that there was a sheet on your table regarding our procedures here before this court. Are you aware of those procedures and argued here before, or do I need to go over some of those?
I'm aware of them, Your Honor.
Okay. Okay, counsel. Probably the most important one is that we have a new lighting system. When the green light comes on, that's the beginning of your time. When the yellow light or amber light comes on, that means you have 5 minutes left in your 15 minutes per side. Of course, appellant may reserve any amount of time that you want to respond or for rebuttal. But under our new system, that's up to you. If you want me to help you with that, please let me know and I'll try to make sure I give you some warning about the time limitation there. Other than that, we are ready to proceed with Ryder versus State Farm Mutual, which is case number 08-CA-0038.
Excuse me just a moment.
Oh, yes, and we have one matter to attend to on this case before we get started with oral arguments. I want to note that we have before us appellee's combined motion to strike appendix to appellant's opening brief. The court has considered that motion and the response to it, and the court hereby denies the motion to strike. Therefore, you may address those items in your appendix if you deem necessary.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, opposing counsel. My name is Robert Wilhite, counsel for the plaintiff, Judith Ryder. The issue for the court to decide is if the trial court erred in deciding the plaintiff had 2 years from the date she knew the tortfeasor was uninsured to bring her claim against State Farm. The standard for review is de novo. The accident occurred on January 31st, 2004. Ms. Ryder found out that the tortfeasor was uninsured as early as February 4th, 2004, when she wrote that on an auto accident questionnaire, or as late as August 2nd, 2004, when State Farm informed her that the tortfeasor was uninsured. Ms. Ryder filed her suit on January 8, 2007 against State Farm and the tortfeasor. The trial court applied the Trigg case and concluded that the two-year statute of limitations had expired before Ms. Ryder filed her complaint. The trial court's conclusion regarding the proper statute of limitations is incorrect for three reasons. First, it conflicts with the mandatory language of the third clause of the statute. Second, it conflicts with legislative history. And third, the statute of limitations is 3 years for public policy reasons. Section 1380.107.5.1a, which is under the uninsured motorist statute, says in the first clause that a cause of action shall be commenced within 3 years against the uninsured motorist carrier. The second clause is a preservation clause. This clause may afford the insured an additional 2 years to file their claim. The third clause is a mandatory 3-year clause that always applies and says, in no event shall the insured have less than 3 years after the cause of action accrues within which to commence action or arbitration.
Counsel, may I interrupt you a minute?
Yes, Your Honor.
On the first clause that you mentioned in that statute, there's a provision that says that an action, you said that concerns an action against the insurer.
Right. An action or arbitration of an uninsured motorist insurance claim, and then as defined, and it says, shall be commenced or demanded by an arbitration demand within 3 years after cause of action accrues.
My question there is, when does the cause of action accrue? Is it necessarily the date of accident, or will it be another date in some cases?
The cause of action accrues on both with the existence of an injury, death, or damage giving rise to a claim, and when the cause of action, injury, death, or damage are known or should have been known by the exercise of reasonable diligence. Now, turning back to the third clause, State Farm wants this third clause to apply actually to the tortfeasor. Accepted rules of statutory construction state that any construction that would render any clause or provision meaningless should be avoided. The court can also look at legislative history if there is any ambiguity between two statute of limitations to see what the General Assembly intended. If the court cannot glean from that information what the General Assembly intended, then they may look towards the public policy. In the Trigg case, the plaintiff found out the day after the accident that the tortfeasor was uninsured. The plaintiff filed their case within 3 years against the tortfeasor, but failed to file their case against the uninsured motorist carrier. This can be distinguished from the case at hand in which Ms. Ryder filed her claim against the tortfeasor and State Farm within 3 years from the date of the accident. The court in the Trigg case applied a 2-year statute. State Farm is now misapplying the 2-year analysis in the Trigg case in an attempt to limit the statute of limitations for uninsured motorist claims. However, in the Trigg case, the final outcome was correct because the plaintiff failed to file their case against the uninsured motorist carrier within 3 years of the date of the accident. The Solka case states that the interplay between two clauses may, but does not necessarily afford the insured more than 3 years from the date of the accident. In addition, the Solka case also says that the last sentence would protect the insured by precluding the 2-year period from, in effect, shortening the 3-year period. Now, Solka and Olson case both had the right conclusion by using the 3-year analysis of the statute. However, they interchanged the terms new and date of accident. We believe that the term should be the date of the accident. The General Assembly intended for there to be a 3-year statute of limitations. Both State Farm and the Colorado trial lawyers together proposed the uninsured motorist bill. They stated in there that it would make sense for there to be uniformity of a 3-year statute with both the uninsured motorist claim.
Are you going into the legislative history?
Yes, Your Honor.
Why don't you argue first from the statute as to why there's no need to get into the history if the statute takes care of it?
Your Honor, I believe that the statute is clear and unambiguous, and State Farm believes that the statute is clear and unambiguous. However, if this court believes that this statute is, there's some ambiguity, this court may then look at what the General Assembly intended through those notes.
All right, but I'm asking you first to tell us from the statute why it's 3 years.
The statute, because in the statute, the very last clause, first off, says it's a mandatory 3-year clause. And this clause states that in no event shall the insured have less than 3 years after the cause of action accrues within which to commence such action or demand arbitration. This clause is a mandatory 3-year clause.
And what does such action mean?
Such action is from the date that the action accrues, and that would be, again, the date of, in this example, in this case at hand, would be the date of the accident. But such action could mean the date there's an injury, death, or bodily injury, and that the insured knows of such injury, death, and damage.
Are you saying then if the injured party does not find out that the tortfeasor is uninsured until just before 3 years passed, that the injured party then has 3 more years to sue the insurer?
No, Your Honor. If the injured party does not find out that there's any insurance until just before the 3 years has run, and they're informed and have knowledge that there is no insurance, they have the 2-year preservation clause, which is the second clause of the statute, would kick in, and that would preserve their ability to file 2 years from the date that they know that there is no, that they know that there is no insurance.
Let me follow up on that question, Mr. Wilhite. In the first clause, as you call it, of the statute, in answer to my question, you responded that the cause of action accrues, and that would be the cause of action against the insurer.
Correct. Correct?
That the cause of action accrues when there's an injury or death and knowledge on behalf of the insured that the other driver is uninsured.
Correct.
Knowledge or reason to know.
Right.
Well, then it seems along the lines that Judge Marquez was inquiring about, that if the insured discovers 2 days before the 3-year statute runs, that's when the cause of action accrues.
Your Honor, the cause of action accrues, as it states in Section 3 of the Uninsured Motorist Statute, that the cause of action accrues after both the existence, death, injury, or damage giving rise to the claim, which, for example, would be the date of the accident,
correct,
and the cause of are known or should have been known by the exercise. So that would be that. But the date that they learn of their that there's no insurance would be a different date, because an individual could, again, for example, a year and a half down the road, find out, you know, they've been getting therapy, treatment, going through their usual, and then find out, oh my gosh, this person doesn't have any insurance. Then the 2-year preservation clause would kick in and would give them 2 years from the date that they find out. Because as we know, sometimes people don't think that individuals don't have any insurance, and this affords them the opportunity to have 2 years to file their claim afterwards if they find out there's no insurance. Turning back to the General Assembly's intent, the General Assembly, the statute, State Farm and the Colorado trial lawyers together proposed this uninsured motorist bill. The uniformity again makes sense because it brings it to 3 years to file your uninsured motorist claim or 3 years against the tortfeasor. What State Farm is now trying to argue is that the statute should be read to say that Ms. Ryder should bring her claim against State Farm 1 year before she must bring her claim against the tortfeasor. This is clearly against the General Assembly's intent and the language of the statute. In addition, for public policy concerns, by having the 3-year statute be intact, this would also help for there to be fewer lawsuits. It would also give individuals who are injured an extra year to accurately assess what kind of damages they've had and to be able to properly find out if there is no insurance. This would provide all parties across the board to properly do an investigation. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Wolf.
May it please the court, Carl Chambers appearing on behalf of the defendant appellee, State Farm Mutual Automobile Insurance Company. The one dispositive fact that is not in dispute from the underlying lawsuit is that the action was not filed within 2 years after Ms. Ryder learned that the other tortfeasor was uninsured. So what we're strictly dealing with is whether or not the 2-year or the 3-year statute of limitations should apply. And in looking at the case law and the statute, the case law that's interpreted the statute, the most relevant case is the Trigg case. It's the only case that has actually dealt with whether a 2-year or 3-year statute should apply. Both the Sulca case and the Olson case that are referred to by the appellant have some discussion of a 3-year statute of limitations, but neither of those cases are in the context of whether a 2-year statute may apply. That just was never an issue that had to be addressed or decided in either of those cases. And so, therefore, those cases have no precedential value for assessing whether or not a 3-year or 2-year statute should apply. The only case that has discussed that specific issue is the Trigg case. And the language from the Trigg case specifically indicates that the court was applying a 2-year statute of limitations in that particular case. The specific language from the court, in that particular case, the auto accident happened on August 2nd, 1997. And that at that point in time, or a couple days after, the insured who was bringing the UM claim was advised that the other driver was not insured. There's some indication that that notice may have come later. It may have come at July 13th, 1998. In any event, the lawsuit was filed in July of 2000. And at that point in time, State Farm intervened after that and then filed the motion for summary judgment, which was granted, which was denied initially. And then the Court of Appeals reversed that decision and said that the 2-year statute should apply. And in making that finding, the court specifically referred to the fact that if the 2-year statute applied, it said the statute of limitation on the insured's claim against the insurer expired as early as August 2nd, 1999, but no later than July 13, 2000. The court could not have made that statement or that finding unless it was applying a 2-year statute of limitations. If it had applied a 3-year statute of limitations, that language would not have been in the decision. So clearly the Court of Appeals, in addressing the Trigg case, found that a 2-year statute of limitations was applicable to a claim for uninsured motorist benefits against the uninsured motorist carrier. And I submit that that's the language that the court has to rely on in deciding this issue. And that's, in fact, what the trial court relied on in deciding the summary judgment motion in this particular case. The facts clearly indicated that the lawsuit was not filed within 2 years after Ms. Ryder learned that the other driver was uninsured, and therefore her claim was barred by the statute of limitations, at least her claim against State Farm. She still has her claim against the uninsured motorist, and my understanding is that claim is still pending in the district court that she can pursue if she wants to. But in terms of her ability to pursue a claim for uninsured motorist benefits, that claim can no longer be pursued.
What do we do with the other Court of Appeals cases?
Are you talking about Sulca and Olson, Your Honor?
Yes.
I don't think the decision of upholding a 2-year statute of limitations in this particular case would require a change or any modification to either of those decisions. As I stated before, neither of those cases dealt with an issue of whether a 2-year or 3-year statute of limitations should apply. There's some dictum language in there that discusses a 3-year statute of limitations, but in neither of those cases did the court have to decide whether it should apply a 2-year or whether it should apply a 3-year statute of limitations.
Well, isn't the date calculation in Sulca actually dictum?
Excuse me?
Isn't the date calculation in the paragraph that you referenced in Sulca, isn't that actually dictum? It wasn't necessary for the court to have that paragraph in there, was it?
The paragraph I was referring to was in the Trigg case, Your Honor.
In the Trigg case.
And I do believe it was part of the court's decision. The court was making the determination that this claim was not timely, and it specifically inserted the dates that were applicable to applying a 2-year statute of limitations. It specifically indicated that the claim was barred because it had to have been filed no later than August 2nd, 1999. It didn't indicate that a three-year statute applied. It specifically stated that by this date certain, which is a two-year statute being applied, the claim had to have been filed, and it wasn't. And so I think that's where the court has to go in deciding this issue, is to rely on the Trigg case. I think there's some language from the Sulca case, and there's also some language in the Trigg case that provides some additional support for that. The specific language from the Sulca case states that the claim, this is referring to the claim for uninsured motorist benefits, accrues for the purposes of the two-year period of limitation pursuant to 1380.107.51A when the insured knows that the particular tortfeasor is not covered by any applicable insurance. So even in the Sulca case, the court is recognizing that the two-year statute of limitations that's discussed in the statute accrues when the insurer discovers that the other driver, the other motorist at-fault driver, is not covered by applicable insurance. And that's specifically what occurred in this underlying case that's before the court now.
And Mr. Chambers, how do you explain the final sentence of the statute that in any event, or in no event rather, shall the insured have less than 3 years after the cause of action accrues within which to commence such action or demand?
Your Honor, I believe that last sentence is there to clarify any potential conflict or uncertainty that there may exist between the first two paragraphs of that. The first paragraph seems to provide a three-year statute of limitations to pursue an uninsured motorist claim. The second part of the statute then provides that if the claim is being pursued against the uninsured motorist carrier, there's a two-year period of limitations to apply to that particular claim from the time that the insured discovers that the at-fault driver is not insured. And so you have potentially a three-year and then a two-year. And so the last sentence there is to clarify that in the event that you're going to pursue a claim against the uninsured motorist, the at-fault party, the tortfeasor, you still have 3 years to do that. And I think that's that last sentence is clarifying. I think you had referred to that in your earlier questions where you indicated, where you said such action in that last section. And it's our position that such action refers to an action against the uninsured motorist individually as opposed to an uninsured motorist claim against the carrier.
Do you agree that the first clause of the statute refers to an action being commenced against the insurer?
It does refer to the insurer.
Against the uninsured motorist insurer.
It does, Your Honor. I agree.
And in that first clause, the statute provides that the demand must be made within 3 years after the cause of action accrues. How do we get to a two-year statute of limitations if the first clause says 3 years after the cause of action accrues?
I think the second part of the statute deals with the section that where the insurer has knowledge about the uninsured status of the other driver. The first section deals with the claim against I think it's more intended to address the claim against the uninsured motorist, and they have 3 years to bring that claim on.
Would not the cause of action accrue against the uninsured motorist carrier, the insurer? The cause of action would accrue when the insured became aware that the other driver was uninsured?
It would.
And then the first clause says that an action against the insured then would be commenced or demanded by arbitration within 3 years of when the cause of action accrues. So as soon as the insured becomes aware that the other driver is uninsured, that would start the three-year time clock running, would it not?
It would seem to under that, but then if that were the case in the second provision in the statute that refers to a two-year statute of limitations running against the insured, would be superfluous. It wouldn't serve any purpose if they always had 3 years. I think that the first part of the section is more intended to address an uninsured motorist claim, and they have 3 years to assert an uninsured motorist claim but against the at-fault driver. But to the extent they're going to be asserting a claim against the underinsured or uninsured motorist carrier, that has to be brought within the 2 years from the time they discover that the at-fault driver is uninsured. The only, the other issue I'd like to address before my time is up has to do with the bad faith claim. To the extent that this court reverses the decision and concludes that a three-year statute of limitations applies to the bringing of the UM claim, it's our position that the bad faith claim was still appropriately subject to a summary judgment order and should not be reinstated. The sole basis for the bad faith claim in the underlying action was State Farm's decision to pursue or to file a motion for determination of question of law regarding the medical payments coverage under the policy. State Farm took the position that the $10,000 that it paid in medical payments coverage could not be re-recovered as an item of damages in the UM claim. And it filed a motion for determination of question of law on that issue. The trial court agreed and found that the $10,000 that was paid as medical payments coverage could not be recovered again as damages as part of the UM claim. The sole basis of the bad faith claim was State Farm's filing that motion. There initially was not a bad faith claim in the complaint.
Counsel, isn't this beyond the scope of the briefs that have been filed in this case?
I think it's an issue that is somewhat surmised in it. I don't think it was addressed as a specific issue within the context of the briefs, but I think it's an underlying issue in terms of what needs to be resolved in terms of the court's decision to resend this back, if it does decide to send this back to the trial court to address the underlying claim for the uninsured motorist benefits. I think it also needs to look at whether or not the bad faith claim should be reinstituted as well.
How is that properly before us?
Because the court's decision concerning the dismissal of the UM claim also resulted in the dismissal of the bad faith claim. And so if the court is going to make the decision to reinstate the UM claim, conceivably the plaintiff would argue that the bad faith claim should be reinserted as well based on that decision. And so it wasn't addressed in the appellant's opening brief, but I think that it's a issue that is within the frame of the issues that are for the Court of Appeals to decide.
Well, let me ask if let me make sure I understand what you're requesting here. You're saying if we reverse, you're asking us to reverse in part and affirm in part. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, Your Honor.
Based on something that's not before us in writing.
That's correct. The issue was not raised by the appellant in their argument, and so we did not address it in our answer brief. But I felt that...
And you did not cross-appeal on that.
That's correct, because it was a favorable ruling for us. There would have been no reason for us to file a cross-appeal of an issue that was found in our favor, because the court dismissed the bad faith claim. And so to the extent that the court is going to, would consider remanding the matter for resolution of the UM claim, I think that is an issue that can be addressed and should be addressed in remanding the matter back to the trial court. Unless there's any further questions, I thank you for your time.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Wilhite, you have approximately 3 minutes and 45 seconds.
Opposing counsel's argument is flawed for three reasons. First, the trial court's decision in the Trigg case rendered the third clause of the uninsured motorist statute meaningless, which is a construction that should be avoided. Second, opposing counsel has misinterpreted the plain language of the third clause by stating that this third clause is only intended to refer to the three-year statute for the underlying bodily injury claim. And third, the two-year clause is a preservation clause. As we know, statutory construction states that you must give full meaning to each and every clause of a statute. In addition to this, the bodily injury claim, there's a whole other statute that refers back to the tortfeasor. And the last sentence of the statute is stated as an affirmance that there's a three-year statute for the uninsured motorist claim. It does not in anywhere say in that last sentence for the tortfeasor. (Clears throat) In referring to the trial court's, to the opposing counsel's argument on bad faith, that was summarily denied by the trial court, and so what we're asking for on this case is we're asking to reverse and remand the summary judgment ruling, including the bad faith claim that was dismissed outright by a trial court, which they gave no reasoning why, except that the complaint was filed late, and state that that it's 3 years from the date of the accident for Ms. Ryder to file her claim against State Farm. If the court has any questions, I am done.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you, counsel, for your arguments. The matter will stand submitted, and an opinion will issue in due course.